Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 5, "For unto the angels hath He not put under subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying," he's quoting from the book of Psalms, "what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands." I want you to notice, "and crownest him with glory and honor." I'm glad I serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today, and He's been crowned with glory and honor. We're not serving somebody still in the graveyard. We're serving somebody seated in heavenly places, amen, that's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and for me. I'm glad for Jesus this morning. I'm glad for the Savior this morning. If you're glad for the Savior, just wave at me right here this morning. Let me know you're alive, and there ain't a bunch of pictures sitting out there in the seats. Amen. I want you to notice a few things here this morning about Hebrews chapter number 2. And notice he's crowned with glory and honor. It's been a while, maybe a year or so ago, I preached on the Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8, where it says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, that which was, that which is, and that which is to come." And I got to studying and doing a little more digging around these particular passages, and I found out something that I want to share with you this morning. That tabernacle in the wilderness is where God met with His people. That's where He met with the Old Testament people. The tabernacle, the Bible says, it is example and shadow of heavenly things. And then you get over in the New Testament, you'll find John chapter number 1, verse number 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's the same word as tabernacled. In the Old Testament, God tabernacled with His people through that tabernacle in the wilderness. Then you get to the New Testament in John 1:14, the Word, that's Him, the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and tabernacled, dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory. He's been crowned with glory and honor, and I want to share with you, if I have time this morning, three different crownings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three different crownings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to meet with God, if you wanted to worship with God, you had to come through the ministry of the Old Testament tabernacle. That's how they met with God in the Old Testament. But if you want a fellowship with God in the New Testament, if you want to worship God in the New Testament, if you want the presence of God in the New Testament, if you want to go to heaven where God is in the New Testament, you must come through the tabernacle of the New Testament, and that is Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's the only way to get to God. That's the only way that'll satisfy the court of heaven, and that is the tabernacle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians over there said He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was body, soul, and spirit. Three parts of the Old Testament tabernacle. And they wanted a relationship with God. They had to come through that tabernacle in the wilderness. If you want a relationship with God on this side of the cross, my friend, you must come through Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." I'm glad He's the only way. God plans everything. Jesus purchased everything. And the Holy Spirit preserves everything. Somebody say amen. What does all of this have to do with the three crownings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, in the Old Testament tabernacle, there are seven pieces of furniture. There are seven pieces of furniture. And would you believe, when I got to digging around and looking, out of the seven pieces of furniture in the Old Testament tabernacle, three of them had crowns around them. Only three. And I got to look and I said, there has to be something. There has to be something here. The three crownings, Hebrews says he was crowned with glory and honor. And the Old Testament he's talking about in the book of Psalms where he was crowned. He's quoting Psalms 8, I believe it is, crowned with glory and honor. And there's three pieces of furniture in that tabernacle. I don't have time to preach on the tabernacle. If we get in on that, boy, we'll be here all afternoon, I promise you. And y'all will be glad when it is finished. But the first piece of furniture that had the crowns around it was the table of showbread. That table of showbread had 12 cakes of unleavened bread. 6 on this side, 6 on that side. Y'all ready? 66. 6 on this side and 6 on this side. The bread, He is the Word. Amen. He is the bread of life that feeds the 5,000. He'll feed the 4,000. And He'll feed your hungry soul here this morning. The table of showbread had golden crowns all the way around that piece of furniture. And then when you moved on a little further, there was another piece of furniture, and it was the ark of the incense. The ark of the incense, a little potpourri stand, about 3 foot tall. And it had some horns on that thing, and had a little staves or sticks running through that thing, overlaid with gold. And that thing had the crowns around that piece of furniture. And then when you went behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, you found another piece of furniture, piece number 3. And that was the Ark of the Covenant. In that Ark of the Covenant had Aaron's rod that budded. That was the rod that parted the Red Sea. There was a little bowl of manna in that particular Ark of the Covenant. And the Ten Commandments, the broken Ten Commandments, were in that Ark of the Covenant. And over the top of that Ark of the Covenant was a solid gold piece, a solid slate of gold called the mercy seat with 2 cherubims, had those wings, and they're looking one another and they're looking down at the mercy seat. Had crowns all the way around that thing. All of this information is found in Exodus chapter number 25. Read it when you get home. But let me run over these 3 pieces of furniture. We'll give an invitation. We'll shout it out. We'll take up another offering. Whatever y'all want to do. But write them down and remember them. I'm glad that He's been crowned with glory and honor. These 3 pieces of furniture coincide with the 3 crownings of Christ. Also, it coincides with the 3 appearances of Christ. You want to write this down? Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse 26 says this: "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared." Hath He appeared. That's past. Hath He appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice of Himself. And then you'll back up a couple of verses in Hebrews 9. And it says, verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear." So verse 26 says, "hath appeared," that's past. Verse 24 says, "now to appear," that's present. And verse number 28 of Hebrews 9 says, "He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Past, present, and future, that which was, that which is, and that which is to come, coincides the 3 appearances of Christ and the 3 crownings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad the first time He appeared, He came as a lamb. Hey, a man, a lamb without blemish, without spot. Right now, He is my lawyer in heaven, interceding for me and for you. When I pray, I don't pray to a pope. I don't pray to a preacher. I don't pray to nobody wearing a gown. I don't pray with nothing, with somebody's a rag on the head. I pray to Jesus Christ. He is my lawyer. He is my advocate. He is my paraclete. He is my lawyer. Amen. And He will justify and intercede for me in the courtroom of heaven. Oh, the third time that He'll appear, He'll come as the Lord of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, the first time He came as the little lamb. Right now, He's my lawyer, and there's coming a day when He's coming as Lord of glory. Well, let me share with you the first crowning of the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter number 19. Let me read it for you for time's sake. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put it on him, a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you. He was crowned with those crowns of thorns. Then Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." There's one thing I agree with Pilate. I find no fault in him either. Oh, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man. Behold the man." John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Pilate said, "Behold the man." But oh, my friend, there's coming a day when they're going to say, "Behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And he's the soon coming King. You say, "Preacher, what is the first crowning?" It is a crowning of mockery. A crowning of mockery. They put a crown of thorns. You say, "Preacher, why thorns?" Well, if you'll remember in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 3, Satan came and spoke to Eve. And sin entered the world, and death by sin. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And God came looking for Adam, said, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam says, "Oh, we over here hiding, cause we don't know, want you to know what we have doing and what we have done." And God said this. He said, and unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat all of it the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and shall eat the herb of the field." You notice that's where sweat first started in Genesis. Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Because of sin. He wore a crown of thorns, ladies and gentlemen, because the ground is cursed. And thorns and thistles were coming from that cursed ground. And they took that cursed ground and they placed it upon the head and crowned the Lord Jesus Christ and mocked him and spit upon him and mocked him and made fun of him and put a purple robe on him and said, "Hail, now he's the King of the Jews." Oh, they crowned him, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." Oh, I remember in Genesis chapter number 22, Abraham takes Isaac up one side of the mountain, but up the other side of the mountain comes a ram. And guess where he gets caught? He gets caught by the horns in a thorn bush in a thicket. Why? Because that ram had to be without spot, without blemish. Amen. He was crowned in mockery. You say, "Preacher, what does that have to do with the table of showbread?" Oh, I'm glad you ask. What does it have to do? This table of showbread was made out of wood, but then it was covered in gold. That wood speaks of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was 100% man. Oh, but that gold represents... He was 100% God. That's why he could be crying one minute and raising Lazarus from the dead another minute. Why? Because he was wood, the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. And on that table was two rows of six bread, unleavened bread. Wasn't no sin in him. He never sinned. Never could have sinned. God can't sin. He was 100% God and couldn't have sinned. Amen. If he could have, he wouldn't have been God. Oh, but those bread, that bread represents the bread of life, Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, still, what does it have to do with that first crowning, the crown of mockery?" Well, let me tell you, some of you ladies that know what old-time cooking is, we're not talking about Betty Crocker. We're not talking about just take you the biscuits and you beat them and they pop open, you stick them in the microwave and do all. We're not talking about that. We're talking about old-fashioned, old-timey bread. And that old-timey bread, listen now, young people, listen to this. That old-timey bread started out as just a seed. and it was placed into the ground. And just a little while after a little water and a little germination there goes on, springs up a little green sprig there. And then it goes on, I believe the Bible says, and it grew and it grew. Jesus Christ grew and waxed strong in spirit, full of grace. Amen. And that thing grew and it became a stalk. And at harvest time, they took that stalk and they beat it and took it through the threshing floor. And at harvest time, they took it out of the land of the living and they began to stomp on that and to put it on the threshing floor and to beat it out and beat it into flour. And then they'd take that flour and they'd put it in the oven for about 3 days. Oh, I'm feeling spiritual here just a minute. And he put that flour in the oven and they'd put that oven and they would pull out that bread and then they'd put oil and spices on that bread and make it smell real good. Say, preacher, what's that got to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, one day there was a seed that was in heaven. It's the Word of God. And they took that seed and the Holy Spirit of God planted it in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And just a little while, about 9 months, if you will, a little sprig come out of the ground. Oh, y'all hearing me this morning? Oh, y'all help me now a little bit. Let me know y'all still out there. And a little sprig come out. And Luke 2:40 says, and he grew, the child grew and waxed strong. And boy, that day when John the Baptist baptized him in the River Jordan, it was a full-grown stalk waiting for the harvest. For three and a half years, waited for the harvest. And there came a day when he rode that donkey into Jerusalem. And my friend, that day was harvest day. It was the day of Passover, and they took that sprig, that stalk, and they cut it down out of the land of the living. They took it to the threshing floor, my friend, and began to beat it out. I believe Isaiah 53 says, oh, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Oh, he was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, by his stripes we are healed. And they beat him, and they beat that wheat, and they beat that wheat. Oh, but when they got through, they made them a little flour and they stuck it in a tomb and turned the heat up. Amen. And then about 3 days later, early on Sunday morning, that bread come out of the oven and they put oil and spices. You say, why'd they anoint his body with oil and spices? Because it was the bread of heaven and it was going to feed the hungry souls. If you're hungry this morning, he'll feed you. If you're hungry this morning, he'll satisfy you through the sweet bread of heaven. Oh, he was crowned with mockery. Pictures that first of the table of the showbread. Hebrews 9:26 hath appeared. Oh, but let's move on. Number two. And number two, you're already there in Hebrews. The second crowning. The second crowning. Oh, it wasn't in mockery. This crowning was a crowning of mercy. Hebrews chapter number 2, you'll begin reading on down further than where we were just a few minutes ago. Verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now let me stop and say this, every man means every man. Every man, woman, boy, child, boy and girl, every grandma, every grandpa, you alike this morning, he died, he suffered for you. But it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons unto the glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Oh, look here, let me try to find what I was looking for. Oh, let's see, oh, verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Notice Jesus Christ, my friend, was crowned when he got up out of that ground on Easter Sunday morning, on Resurrection Day. My friend, he stayed and he come back with the disciples. disciples about 40 days. And then there was a day in Acts chapter number 1, I believe it is, verse number 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner, just as you've seen him go." We're talking of, hey, Allah ain't coming back. Muhammad ain't coming back. This same Jesus is coming back. Oh, I'm glad for that. You say, "Preacher, what does this crowning of mercy have to do with this second piece of furniture?" Well, I'm glad you asked. This second piece of furniture got crowns around it. It's the altar of incense. This is what the high priest would do. He'd go back to the brazen altar where he'd get him a shovel. And he'd get him some of those hot coals from off the brazen altar. Pictures Calvary. Hey, everything goes back to Calvary. Everything goes back to the cross. Everything goes back to the cross. And they took a shovel of coals and they'd bring it into that altar of incense and put that coal, those hot smoking coals, those burning coals. And then they'd take oil. They'd take oil and spices and they'd pour it on those hot coals. And all of a sudden there was a perfume. There was a vapor that ascended. Y'all not getting this? That ascended. A vapor don't go down, it goes up. And this vapor, when those hot coals, that oil and spices were put onto that hot coal, that smoke ascended up into heaven. And God says, "It's a sweet smelling savor unto my nostrils." All through the Old Testament, my friend, all God ever got to smell was the burning, rotten flesh of a dead animal. But my friend, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross and they put those spices in that sweet-smelling savor, God said, "I ain't never smelled nothing like that before. Oh, I'm liking that smell a whole lot better than a dead cow. Amen. Oh, I'm liking that, and it's a satisfying me." Oh, I believe the Bible says something about, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." You know what that means? That means he saves them real good. When you get saved, you're saved. If you get saved, you get saved. That means when you get saved, you can go lay your head on your pillow at night and not worry about losing it in the middle of the night. He saves to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, I tell you, this morning I rest my case at the cross of Calvary. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Oh, the Bible says he's the mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. It ain't Mary, folks. It ain't Mary. It ain't counting beads. It's through Jesus Christ, the mediator of the New Testament. And it represents the crowning and mockery, the crowning of mercy ties in with that altar of incense. But I'm hurrying. I got one more to go. Oh, that third one, that third crowning is found in Revelation. Or Revelation chapter number 4. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to shout? Me and Brother Jerry, by ourselves, we're going to shout here in just a minute. Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to hurry, verse number 4. I hear pages turning, but look here. It coincides with the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. Now look here, verse number 4. "And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now, I don't know. I ain't got time to prove all this to you. You believe what you want to. We ain't got time to argue about it on Sunday morning. But those 24 elders, there's 24 of them, 12 Old Testament saints representing. There's 12 New Testament saints represented there, representing the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, equaling 24, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. I want you to notice right down here, verse number 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Oh, my friend, there's coming a day when He'll be crowned, oh, no more in mockery. Right now He's crowned in mercy, interceding for me. But my friend, there's coming a day when He'll be crowned in majesty. Crowned in majesty. You say, preacher, where are those crowns going to come from? Well, let me tell you, there's a coming a day when the judgment seat of Christ will take place, and there's five different crowns that you can receive as a Christian. We're not talking about salvation at this particular time. We're talking about rewards and what you've done since you've been saved. Have you done anything since you've been saved worthy to get a crown? Well, my friend, let me tell you. Here at the judgment seat of Christ, the crowns will be given. Say, boy, ain't we going to look pretty? Ain't we going to look pretty in heaven with all them crowns on our head? You won't never make it to your head. Because by the time He gives it to you, you'll look up. There's a lamb sitting on the throne, and we'll just take the crown if we blessed enough to get any. I don't know, but I just hope. I'm glad to be going to heaven. Amen. But I hope, I pray to God that I got something to show forth to Him on that day. Since I've been saved, He's been so good to me. I hope I've been good. The Lord is for, as the salvation is concerned. Oh, not to keep it, my friend, but to receive a crown. Oh, not that I can gloat in glory for myself and walk down the streets of gold and say, oh, look at my crown. But oh, that I'll have something to take over to the throne of God and lay them down at His feet. Eat and say, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to be called the Son of God. He's the one we've all have been waiting to see. He's the one we've been wanting our kids to see. He's the one we've been waiting to see. That's why we've been going through all of these hard times and troubles, my friend. We just want to get to see Him. Say, preacher, what's it got to do with that mercy seat? Well, let me tell you, and I'm through. Watch. What I tell you in the Ark of the Covenant, broken Old Testament, the broken law of the Old Testament. Nobody in the Old Testament kept it. Nobody in the Old Testament kept it. It was broken from the beginning. Amen. The only reason He gave them the law is to show them that they couldn't. Broken law in the Old Testament. And in the Ten Commandments, broken Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod that budded. Give them a picture, a part in the Red Sea. Everything in their past. Everything in their past. And that manna, give them a little experience. Y'all remember being in the wilderness? Well, there's your little manna to remember that. Say, preacher, what about all that past? All that past that haunts us. All that broken Old Testament, all them sins, Lord God, all them sins I've committed. Guess what's overlaying the top of it? A solid piece of gold. It's been covered. Your past has been covered. Your present has been covered. And your future will be covered. Oh, when they took the blood from off the... Everything goes back to the cross. Everything goes back to the cross. And they take that blood and they put it onto that mercy seat, and it covers your past. It covers your present. And it covers your future. You say, preacher, God can't save me. I'm telling you, there's nothing too hard for God. He can save you. He'll save you today. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know what I have done in my life. God saved me. He saved me. Out of my trouble, that poor man cried. And God put my past, my present, future in the Ark of the Covenant. And He laid over it with a mercy seat of heaven. And on top of that is the blood that goes on top of that. And if you can get through all of that, my friend, amen, I don't know of anybody that can. Say, preacher, oh, you don't know my past. It don't matter. The devil keeps bringing up your past, don't he? Well, you just remind the devil his future. You just remind the devil every time he brings up your past and all the bad you've done. Hey, this is what I can tell you. This is real simple. I don't know how far we can go with it, but look, listen. Get it under the blood. Get forgiveness for it. Close the door and lock it and forget about it. If God has forgiven you about it, forgive yourself. I just feel like parking right here just a minute. I was fixing the clothes, but I just need to tell you people, I just come to tell you this morning, your sins have been covered. Past, present, and future. Oh, preacher, I don't know. Oh, I do. Oh, I do. That Bible tells me so. Your sins can be covered. Oh, I'm thankful. He was crowned in mockery. Yes, I'm thankful for it. If he wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have no way to go to heaven. He was crowned in mercy. There he is. He's my lawyer. He's taking up for me up there. One of these days he's coming. We didn't have time to read Revelation 19, but Revelation 19, they're not cast at his feet now. In Revelation 19, he's got them on his head. And he's riding the white horse. Past, present, future. Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, are you saved? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Mark began to play a suitable number of invitation. Suitable number of invitation. Listen to me real close. Mark begins to play softly. Listen to me real close. Answer this question in your heart. Answer this question in your heart. Man, woman, boy, and girl. Makes no difference. Old, young, alike. Makes no difference. Answer this question. What are you depending on to get you to heaven? What are you depending on to get you to heaven? What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? What are you clinging to? What is the first thing that popped into your heart when I said that? Folks, it can only be one thing. And that's the cross of Christ. Not a church, not a denomination, not a water tank, not a man, not a woman, not Mary. Only one thing that can get you to heaven. And that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, all I can do is tell you what I did one day. I come to the end of myself and said, God, I know my daddy's a preacher, and that's all well and good, but I can't go on his coattail. I know mama's a prayer, but I can't go on the prayers of mama's coattail. God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Lord, I want to go to heaven. And God, I trust you. Full payment for my sin, past, present, future. God, would you save me? God, would you please save me? You know what? He did. That's been several years ago. I remember where I was at when that happened. How about you? Trust in Him today. That's the only way. Trust in Him today. How about you? Let's stand all over the building. Would you come? Would you come? Who'll be first? Would you come? Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Some are coming. Come on. Just need to come pray. Just need to come pray. Maybe you need to come get saved. Maybe you need to come pray for a lost loved one. Maybe you need to come pray for grandma, mom and daddy. Maybe you need to come pray for those kids. Hey, there's a lawyer in heaven. He'll help you. He'll settle it out of court for you. He'll settle it out of court. That's what he did for me one day. Glad to be saved. Glad to be on my way to heaven. If you need to come, you come today, would you? Mark begins to play. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left the crimson stain. But guess what? He washes me whiter than snow. What about you? What about you? Just listen. Be praying now. Get right with God. Get right with God if you need to. Get right with Him. He's worthy all acceptation. He's the Lamb that was slain for the foundation of the world, and I can promise you He's worthy. He's worthy for us to tell Him thank you. He's worthy for us to praise Him about it this morning. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Yes, He did. People are still in the altar praying. We're going to sing a verse. If you need to come, to come.